Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. 4th of July week, new edition of the Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us, Bob and Kelly. Dima's out for a bit. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place for a great 4th of July meal. Or if you've got a 4th of July picnic, I'd be calling them right now. I'd cater that bad boy. And we know that you'll have a great event if you do your catering with Dickey's Barbecue. What a show today. We're about to bring Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. We got former Southern Miss baseball player, now former Southern Miss player, Graham Crawford. And Al Holder is going to give us an update on how Southern Miss kids are doing in minor league baseball. But first, let's get right to it. Scott Watkins down on the beautiful Gulf Coast. And okay, Scott, I've always been a guy that when the 4th of July runs around and it's over, then I start really thinking about football. So I want to get your early prognostications. Is that right, Kelly? Prognostications?
Prognostications. There you go.
That's why Kelly went to Iowa State, you can tell. And let's start over in the East. The top three teams last year in the Sun Belt East were James Madison, 11-2, 7-1, App State, 9-5, 6-2, Coastal Carolina, 8-5, 5-3. Convince me, Scott Watkins, that these are still not the best three teams in the eastern side of the league.
It's going to be hard to do. That's the top three in some order. App State, to me, is the best team in the East and potentially the best team in the Sun Belt this year. They've been kind of slow building that. James Madison lost quite a bit. But they are still James Madison, and they are used to reloading. Coastal Carolina brings back quite a bit, too. That's the best three. In my mind, that's still a very, very tough division. It's very deep. Georgia Southern is good. Georgia State always has players. Old Dominion is that 6-6 team that is always going to hang around. That is a tough division. I do think that three, that's your top three.
And what about Marshall? How can we forget about what I think has been a consistently good football program?
Yeah, I think they've been a little disappointing over the in their first couple of years in the Sun Belt. They expect to compete for a championship, and they've kind of been a little middling. But they're one of several Sun Belt teams that continues to impress out of conference, and they look really strong. And this league is just such a crabs in a bucket league, like conference. And Marshall is one of those victims that has been pulled down by just the beef that you get in the East Division and the rise of some of the teams out here in the West as well.
All right, Kelly, before we move to the West, your thoughts about James Madison, App State, Coastal, three best teams in the Eastern Division.
I agree with both of you on that. Even though there's been some, coaching change at Marshall, Kurt Cignetti left Indiana, and they brought in Bob Chesney, who was the head coach at Holy Cross, who a lot of people are wondering how that will translate, to a much smaller school, the Holy Cross, than James Madison. But their roads to success have been similar. So they've got talent, in the cupboard. So I think you will have a little bit of trouble, persuading anybody that those are not the top three teams. Yeah, but Georgia Southern is kind of that. They're not. A lot of people aren't thinking much of Georgia Southern so far, but I think they might be kind of the. If there's a dark horse on that side of the ledger, I think it would be those Eagles.
How about that, Scott? They're the dark horse.
Could be. They need to get back to what they were 2 years ago, add a defense to that, and they could absolutely make some noise.
All right, let's switch to the West, Scott. Troy was the class of the West, 11-3, 7-1, followed by Texas State, 8-5, 4-4, South Alabama, 7-6, 4-4. It seems clear to me that the East is the stronger side of the football conference, but is Troy, Texas State, and South Alabama the best three in the West?
I don't think so. I don't think it's that clear in the West. I see a lot about Troy still here in this offseason. I'm going to be real with you. I don't get it. They lost almost everybody that made a tackle on defense, including the head coach. They lost a long time starting quarterback, which helped tremendously over the last 2 years to have that kind of experience. They lost an NFL draft pick at running back. They have one receiver back. Lost several offensive linemen. This team is gutted. All from top to bottom, the roster is just completely turned over. And every coach left. I don't see Troy as an immediate top three team. They're a big unknown to me. They have good transfers. They loaded up out of the portal. But we'll see. I see teams like that you didn't mention, like Louisiana. They bring a lot back. Arkansas State, under Butch Jones, very good signs last year, and they bring a ton back. Jalen Rayner might be one of the best quarterbacks in the Sun Belt. Arkansas State is a legit contender, I think, for the West title. Texas State, I think, is my number one right now. I would go Arkansas State. South Alabama is a big unknown. They're in a similar boat as Troy. But it's murky in the West to me.
So am I hearing Texas State and then Arkansas State? And then who would be your third?
My third, honestly, is a toss-up, but it might be Louisiana. South Alabama could be there as well.
Kelly?
I like Texas State in the West, but I'll flip-flop the second and third from Scott. I think the Cajuns will be second and Arkansas State third. But the thing that all of those teams...
Arkansas State, both of you guys.
But Scott just hit the nail on the head. And, Bob, when you look at all the top three teams in each division, all of them have something on roster that Southern Miss...
I know what you're thinking.
They have quarterbacks. They have established quarterbacks, guys that they're going to, you know, expect to lead the teams. And when you look at the teams that Scott mentioned, you know, Troy, you know, among them, you got quarterback deficiencies on a lot of teams that aren't expected to do very well. And that's why when you look at the Southern Miss, of course, nobody's talking about Southern Miss. Defensively, the Eagles on paper should be really, really good. But again, who's the quarterback going to be?
I'm going to guess you agree with my buddy here, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback is all important. That's why Texas State is my West favorite. They have the best quarterback in the league. That's why Arkansas State's number two. They've probably got the next best quarterback in the league. That's the most important thing right now, is you've got to have experience at quarterback and something established there.
Guys, am I hearing an App State, Texas State championship game?
I think James Madison is going to be the real question mark here, and how Chesney, who has an overwhelming winning percentage at Holy Cross, I mean he's a disciplinarian, he's a military style type guy, so if he can get in there and get done what he wants to get done, I wouldn't count James Madison and the tradition of winning over there.
Scott, what is the secret at James Madison? Why do they have such a tradition of winning in almost every sport?
That is a great question. I wish I knew. Then I could pass that along to Jeremy, and we could figure out something in Hattiesburg.
Well, they've got a lot of money.
Yeah,
their pockets run deep.
Sure.
Their pockets run deep over there. I mean, they've just upgraded all their facilities, and you've got a very active and very lucrative fan base as far as their incomes go. So that certainly doesn't hurt any.
Scott, got about 2 minutes left. How hard overall do you think the Sun Belt was hit by the transfer portal? And what I mean by that is losing Sun Belt players to other conferences in the portal.
Yeah, I think it was hit pretty hard. You know, I think Louisiana would be a pretty strong team, I think, this year, if not for the transfer portal. They lost Leon Chris to Houston. That's one of those big hits. Troy lost over half of its defense to the transfer portal. That completely reshapes the Western Division alone right there. So that is a huge deal. And a lot of it is G5 to G5 too. It's not just the Power Four that's been picking off the Sun Belt. It's just player movement is going to always affect how this league shapes up. I think that's true this year. It'll probably be true next year. Just look within the conference. I mean, James Madison lost its quarterback to Texas State. And that completely tips the scales as far as the divisions go. So it's always going to be that way, I think.
So it's not just the SEC that you see a lot of poaching from team to team. Did I hear you right that Texas State got James Madison's quarterback?
Jordan McLeod, reigning Sun Belt Player of the Year, is now a Texas State Bobcat. Wow. Incredible.
Well, the SEC poaches players from the National Football League. they can make more money in the SEC. Yeah, but and Bob, one slight thing that I want to take issue with is I think, and not by a large margin, but I think the power brokers this year in the Sun Belt are going to be in the West. I think the Western Division. Yeah, I do. I think this year the West overall is going to be stronger than the East.
Are you buying that, Scott?
It could very well be. I mean, it's kind of been shaping that way a little bit. I mean, the champion is out of the West the last 2 years. Uh-huh. South Alabama was the third best team by SP Plus last year with that little 6-6 regular season record. They're strong. I mean, there are teams over here in the West that are sneaky good. Texas State showed up last year, 8 wins. Arkansas State's going to be good. They might be.
Well, you can tell it's getting to be in the heart of summer because we're starting to talk about football.
And we're going
to
start digging deep July 23rd and 24th because the Eagle Hour will be at Media Days in New Orleans. The offices for the Sun Belt are in New Orleans, and we'll have it for you from wall to wall.
All right, Scott, as always, man, thank you for your input on the Eagle Hour. We appreciate it. Happy 4th of July, my man.
Absolutely. Thank y'all.
All right, Scott Watkins, Biloxi Sun-Herald. That paper does a really good job. One of the last surviving newspapers. Am I right about that?
Yeah, there's this thing called the internet, which I still think is a fad.
I think you're right. You and I will be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment of the program is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. We hope that you'll check them out. Miss Kathleen's the best. She's down there 6 days a week. If you listen to other parts of the state, even other parts of the country, like our friend who heads up the Postal Workers Union that listens to us every day in Washington. Good afternoon to you. And you can get your apparel at campusbookmart.net. Also, don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Siri or Alexa to play Super Talk Eagle Hour. Our next guest, a member of the Southern Miss baseball team, just finished his college career, Graham Crawford from Summer On. Now, Graham, before we get started, I'm going to embarrass you. All right, you ready for this?
All right, I'm listening.
All right, you came here 2 years ago. Kelly and I met you when you transferred here, and you spent 2 years on the team.
Yes, sir.
And I know you didn't get on the field as much as you wanted, but I will tell you this, young man, the way you conducted yourself and the way you helped this ball club is something that not only every kid should pay attention to, but every parent who has a child coming up in ball can pay to. You were the epitome of a wonderful, great teammate. Your coach reflected the same thing to us when he told us that he had immense respect for you and the way you conduct yourself in your life. And I just want to thank you, Graham. You're an example of what Southern Miss baseball strives to be, and congratulations to you for the last 2 years, young man.
Man, I appreciate it. There's something Coach Oz always says, and he really harped on it that last year, is you can control what you can control. You know, and one thing that I can control is the energy that I bring and the outlook on the team. How can I help this team win? And whatever that role is, I was ready to do it.
But what is unique?
And you did it.
What is unique about your situation, though, Graham, is that you started almost, if not every single game, your sophomore, junior, senior year in high school at Summerall, won a state title. You go to Pearl River. Were you on the Natty team down there?
No, the year before.
Missed it by a year.
Okay. I was not. Missed it by 1 year.
Yeah, but you played just about every game at Pearl River, if not every single game. Your durability, you were hardly ever injured. So you were the guy, all right, at the first two schools that you played at. Then you go to a place where you're not necessarily the guy. Tell other players and other parents who of travel ball kids and so on, how did you deal with being the big fish and then maybe go into a place where you're not necessarily the big fish?
Man, it was just the fact I'd been raised in a way that I can only do what I can do. And I'm going to give 110% every second of every day, especially within in baseball. Like that was my dream. It always has been. And I realized probably during that year, maybe I'm not going to play in the big leagues. But if I can tell you this, I was going to give absolutely everything in my power to do that. Then everybody harps on the team, right? Being selfish is not going to help the team go anywhere. You know, I've been a part of teams. I've been a captain of multiple teams. And the guys that I remembered were the guys that did the exact same thing every single day, and it never changed who they were, regardless of the outcome. And you can be on – if you were on any of those teams, playing and not playing – doesn't matter throughout the group, throughout the family that is that team. Now, looking from the outside in, people always wonder and question, but that has nothing to do with the family that's trying to accomplish a goal at the end of the year, and that's to go to Omaha. So I realized very soon that, hey, if I'm not going to be the guy, what can I do? How can I help? And how can I teach the guys that are younger than me how to play the game and how to play the game the right way?
Really, really well said. But I want to pick up on the identity part. A lot of guys, after they get out of college, I mean, they've played, most of them, since they were, you know, essentially 6 years old. Baseball is all they knew. Baseball is what they were identified as. I'm a baseball player. All right, so you graduate from college, you and hundreds of other players across the country. Well, you're not a baseball player anymore. You have to now identify as something else. Tough transition for you, or are you good?
Man, I'm good. I've never honestly wanted to be known as a baseball player. I wanted to be known as Graham. I wanted to be known as the guy that's always bringing the energy, the guy that's a great person, the guy that is a Christian, the guy that follows God, the guy that people want to be around, and people remember that. I wanted to be a great person over a baseball player. And now that I'm not one, I'm still the same guy. I don't want anybody to look at me. Well, they can say that I played baseball, yeah. But even when I was playing, that's not what I wanted to be seen as. I wanted you to know me for me. I would never tell you I played baseball if you didn't know me.
That's really good advice, but you will grant me that, unfortunately, a lot of guys do think of themselves as, I'm only a baseball player.
Right. Right, and they do. Some do, and some handle it better than others. But honestly, I think the fact of not playing the last 2 years really made me understand that. Being a kid and just wanting to play, people can say that that's what you identified as. But like I said, the person that I am, I mean, that was never the biggest thing to me. It never was. I like shooting the crap with my friends just as much as I like going and playing, to be honest with you. I love enjoying it. I love wherever I'm at that moment, because I can only control what I can control.
Right.
You know, I can't do anything about 10 minutes ago, and I can't do anything about 10 minutes from now. The present, that's why it's called that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, let me ask you this, Graham. Two questions from me. Was there ever, I think I know the answer to this. There was never a day when you walked out and you said to yourself, well, if I don't get to start this week, I'm just going to quit.
Never.
That never entered your mind, did it?
Not one time. No. Not one time.
No.
Because we put in all the time in the fall, in the pre-spring, that nobody sees.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you become a family, you've got one common goal, and your job is to go. Coach Avalon used to have this analogy of a chain. And if that one link in that chain is cracked, well, the whole system's broke.
Right. Right.
So if you've got a bad apple, you got to pluck it, and you got to pluck it instantly. And that's one thing that I would never be. And if you were, I would call you out on it instantly.
Right. Now, you made a comment that caught my ear. You said people from the outside don't know what it's like inside the family. And as a guy from the outside that covers the baseball program, one thing I've always observed, man, you guys are close-knit. You guys appear to be buddies in the truest sense of the word. What has that family been like the last 2 years, Graham? And I suspect it's something that will be with you the rest of your life.
Oh, absolutely, man. Those guys are brothers. We were at a wedding this weekend, actually, with a guy that played 2 years ago, Blake Johnson. Me, the entire groomsmen, all of us, were Southern Miss players. All of us. Me, Slade, Pato, Tate Parker. Who else? There was Gabe Lacey, and I'm sure there's a couple more. Like, it is a family. Those guys need anything. They know they can call me, and I know I can call them. Like, it is closer than anything that people that have not been a part of something so special can understand. And I can sit here and say this all day, but it's truly a family.
And
it
know truly is. I've known you since you were in junior high, Graham, I think, or maybe even in younger than that. But and I know you're a big believer in you are who you hang out with.
Absolutely.
And now it hasn't taken you long to put the cleats away and get on with your life and already succeeding in what you're doing. Can you kind of tell us now what's going on?
So I actually took a job with Broadway and McMullen Developments. Right now we are purchasing storage facilities and planning on turning them in from Class C facilities into Class B facilities. And we're also purchasing the real estate beside them, trying to uproot that. We've got a couple other things going on, and I'm very, very excited for what's coming in the following years, and look forward to what's out there, man.
Do you worry?
I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
As we begin to wrap things up, Graham, do you worry about the kids coming up now that have an excuse for everything as to why they're not the guy? It's always somebody else's fault. The coach didn't develop them. Coach hates them. The school wasn't what I thought it would be. Blah blah blah.
I can tell you this, and it's another one of Coach Oz's saying, sometimes you got to call a spade a spade. You got to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself those questions. At some point in your life, you're going to have to grow up and put your big boy pants on and figure it out.
Wow.
And for the guys that want to blame other people, you're never going to be successful blaming the guy next to you. It's not going to happen. Sorry to burst your bubble, but that's not it.
No. Graham Crawford, I'm going to tell you this before we let you go. You know, if we got parents out there listening and they're raising kids and they're raising them up through baseball or just life, if their sons turn out like Graham Crawford, they've done a hell of a good job, man. You're the best, young man, and we wish you First of all, let me say we're glad that you're a Golden Eagle, and we wish you absolutely nothing but the best. And I have no doubt you're going to succeed in whatever you do.
And when you make your first million, Graham, Bob wants a low interest loan. His car is kind of on the fritz. So
I'll see what I can do for you, man. I'll see what I can do for you.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, Graham. Best of luck.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Graham Crawford.
He's something, isn't he?
Man, does it get any better than that?
He should really do some inspirational speeches.
100%.
You know?
I hope everyone listens to what that kid just said. Man, that's a... It don't get much better than that, Kevin.
Hope in the younger generation.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Graham Crawford for joining us. And again, I was just blown away by that kid every time I'm around him. What an outstanding young man is Graham Crawford. And we wish him nothing but the best. Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Appreciate his input on the show as well. This portion of the show is sponsored by our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you'll find the biggest selection of Southern Miss memorabilia anywhere on the planet. So many things that they rotate them in and out. It's hard to believe. Great food, great drinks, and there's always a big game on the TV at 4th Street Bar and Grill. It's just a cool place to hang out if you're in a Southern Miss kind of mind, and most of us pretty much stay there. Also, I want to thank MoBay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. Find out what's the topping of the month, and go down and enjoy yourself some delicious beignets. Al Holder, I'm happy to say, is a very dear friend of mine and a man that does an incredible job, really, of keeping up with all the Southern Miss kids that are playing professional baseball. And Al, first of all, happy 4th to you and your family. We got We got quite a number of kids. I think at last report, 16 playing some degree of major league professional baseball. Not bad for a little school here in South Mississippi.
No, and some of them are making their mark, too. It's kind of. I have a new update on one of our players from several years ago, and Chucky Robinson has been called up. He is on the roster today for the White Sox again, playing against the Indians.
Well, that's great to hear, man. He has been at it a while, and of course, the last play I ever saw Chucky make here at Pete Taylor Park may have been the greatest play of time.
Yeah.
The three throw relay to win the conference championship against Rice.
Yeah, he was an excited guy.
He was pretty fired up.
Yeah, but now with the White Sox going up against the Cleveland Guardians, he's now going up against a guy that he used to catch. Nick Sandlin.
And that brings us to Nick Sandlin. He's obviously a dog. He says he's got a little bit of a back strain. They put him on 15 days. But I know you follow it closer than I do. Put in perspective how good Nick Sandlin has become at the major league level, Al.
His whip is 0.99. That'll tell you everything you need to know. A whip of 1.0 or less is considered elite. And so, you know, in 30 innings, in 28 innings, he strikes out 30. He had one bad inning somewhere, and I think that might have led to this back strain, or he might have had it in the midst of it. That's been about 2 weeks ago. So I think that's what contributed to that. But his throwing motion, and that's Sandlin's, Tanner's throwing motion too. You know, they throw that kind of a three-quarter sidearm. And I think that brings into a lot of problems with the oblique, and I think that's what happened to him. Yeah.
How about Tanner Hall? You sent me some stats the other night. It looked like he was doing fairly well.
Yeah, his ERA is 5.4, and his WHIP is 1.85. He's also had a bad inning along the way, and when you've only pitched a few innings, because you know he was injured early on, it just blows up your earned run average.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything with him lately. The way they do it down there at he's with the Mighty Muscles, isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
But the way they do it is they'll rotate these guys in for. They don't have like starters and obviously and relief pitchers. They just throw them in there for two or three innings, four innings, see what happens.
Yeah.
And as they work with them, trying to get them ready to move up. Because he's not yet even with A-ball, so he's got a ways to go. Yeah.
Oh, and now here's another one. And Kelly and I have gotten to know this kid pretty well over the last couple of years. We had him on the show here just recently. We're both big, big fans of Landon Harper. He's a wonderful kid, and he's pitching for the M Braves. I got to say, Al, he's kind of surprised me at how well he's doing.
Yeah, his WHIP is 0.98. He's thrown 40 innings, which is a pretty good view. And so I think the Braves kind of like him. He's getting people out, obviously, he's here with the Mississippi Braves. And so anybody wants to go see a former Southern Miss kid, go over here and try and catch him at the Braves at the ballpark. They had a good crowd over there the other day.
And what makes his story unique as well is you're talking about a guy that is rapidly progressing through a minor league system of a very strong major league team. I mean, a lot of people think that the Phillies, Braves, and Dodgers are the three best teams in the National League. And so for him to be able to move up that quickly in a very strong organization even speaks more highly for him. And Al mentions the WHIP, and we sometimes forget that a lot of our listeners may not be as baseball savvy as others. WHIP is walks or hits per innings pitched. It's an acronym.
Correct.
So anytime, like Al said, anytime it's less than one, you're essentially not giving up many base runners at all, and that's what pitching, of course, is all about.
Yep, for sure.
All right, are there any others that jump out at you, Al, that you think we ought to give some light on?
I've been trying to keep an eye out for Wallner. It seems to me, they've been working on him to try and he's a sucker for a slider, and he just needs to stay away from anything low in the zone. But, you know, being a big left-hander, that's his power zone is down down in the zone. So I think they're trying to move his eyes up a little bit and get him to where he's starting to swing at pitches more like at his belt line and stuff. And he has really picked it up pretty good. His batting average right now is .247. He's hit 19 home runs in AAA, got 52 RBIs, and his OPS is .867. And as you know, anything over 800 is good. That's on base plus slugging, by the way.
Well, let me ask.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish up.
I think they're getting ready to see, you know, when the time comes where they might bring him up again.
The problem with Wallner has been, and Al just alluded to it, AAA numbers, fantastic. You know, the batting average needs to come up a little bit, but his power, which is what you have him for, right? Mm-hmm. Power right. numbers are great in AAA. But then when he gets to the big leagues, something gets lost in translation there. You know, he just hasn't been able to perform consistently at the major league level. But I would suggest that it's because he just has not had consistent enough reps at the major league level. If you're in the Twins organization and you're not going to use Wallner at the major league level, this guy is good trade bait. I mean, there'd be teams that would love to have him at Wallner. And if you're Twins, if you're not going to use him, trade him because yeah. there will be some takers.
What do you say, Al?
I think exactly my sentiments. As a matter of fact, you know, the trade deadlines are coming up, and I think that he's probably – that may be the reason he's still in AAA, I don't know. But they may decide to move him to somebody that will really give them something they need of value. And so it's – you know, you don't know what these people are thinking up there, but everybody's always looking for pitching and stuff. I tell you somebody that is kind of stuck in that he's got so many good players above him, it's hard to bump up, and that's Matthew Etzel. He's in Double A. He's batting .298. He's been around .300 his entire time in the minor leagues. He's hit six home runs. That kid's hit six home runs in 245 at bats. So he's a terrific defensive player. So I think there's so many. Baltimore's got a tremendous minor league going on right now with a lot of kids that sitting down there, and I think he's having trouble coming up.
All right, we've only got 90 seconds left, but I want to get your take. I don't think we've asked you about this. Dalton McIntyre, we're all sitting around here with bated breath, hoping that he's back next year. But do you see him as a major leaguer and a high enough draft choice that they could snatch him away?
It depends on how they view his bat. You know, in college baseball, the way he just slams the ball into the ground. He hits on top of the baseball, which to me is perfect, but he just slams the ball down on the ground, and because of his speed, he outruns it. You can't do that in the major leagues. They're just – those guys up there will throw you out every time. So I don't know what they think about his bat, but as far as everything else is concerned, you know, his speed, his agility, his reaction to the ball out there in center field, all of that is A-grade. So it just depends.
And, Bob, before Al gets away, it's not often that we get a guest on this show that was actually present when the Declaration of Independence was signed. So I want what you can remember about that day, Al. And was Thomas Jefferson really a self-absorbed jerk?
He was. And by the way, I have my pen. It's in a box on the wall right over here. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, you still have to get the quill and the ink to go in there, right?
Yeah. John Hancock has nothing on me.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk too, wasn't he?
Yeah. You want me to punch him when I leave here for you, Al? I'll be happy to throw a shot at him if you want.
Tell everybody at Shady Acres we said hello.
Hey, buddy, we always appreciate your input. Keep following our guys now, and we'll be back in touch with you very soon.
All right, man.
And happy 4th of July, my friend.
Same to you. Same to everybody down there. Have fun.
Yeah, Al Horfer, everybody, the one and only. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Kelly, I want to let you know I've just got a text here from Al's attorney up in Jackson, and he is says enough is enough with the old person jokes. We will be subpoenaing your tax records for the past 10 years.
And that's from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe?
That's it. And that was Mr. Cheatham.
Uh-oh. That's the worst one to deal with.
When Mr. Cheatham calls you, your ASS is pretty much correct.
Well, I might have to ask the Supreme Court if I'm immune from anything I say on the
only
show.
Only in official business.
Oh, okay.
Which means we should overturn the Supreme Court completely. That's what I read today before I came on.
So I think I'm safe then. I think
you're right. I want to go back just a minute to this Graham Crawford kid. Graham Crawford, young man. You coach a lot of baseball. You've been around a lot of tournament baseball. It's a long time ago that I was involved in any kind of tournament coaching, so I know times are different now than then. on a scale of 1 to 10, Kelly, how badly do parents in general need to listen to what Graham Crawford just said?
10. 10. If parents, you know, the guys get it. All right, the guys understand who should be playing, you know, and who deserves those spots if you're trying to win. The kids get it. For some reason, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, but for some reason parents think it's a personal attack on them, or that it's a slap on them if their child isn't. Look, one of the toughest things I ever had to do, and obviously the they'll be nameless, but there was one youngster, and this was in a rec league, so this wasn't travel ball, so everybody got on a team. But there was this one little boy on the team that, and you've heard this, but I had never actually seen it until that year. This boy was going to get hurt because he could not defend himself with a glove. God did not put this kid on earth to be a baseball player. And I had to break it to his parent, single parent situation, and I said, look, it's my opinion that, look, I'm not going to kick him off the team. I'm not going to do anything like that, and I'll work with him as best I can. But if he continues, this kid, it was difficult to play catch with him with the other boys because they would throw the ball and it would hit him in the eye. It would hit him in the nose. I mean, he was getting hurt. So the parent decided, reluctant, and it pained me. It pained me to have to tell the parent because I understand how much blood, sweat, and tears they put into their kids, and this is something that the parent wanted for their child. Anyway, long story short, the parent wound up pulling the child off the team. And I said, anything I can ever do to help him, you know, let me know. About 5 years later, I get a call from that parent. Remember me? I said, of course I do. And the parent says, my son just won the state science fair at the University of Southern Mississippi and won a college scholarship.
There you go.
You know, and I said, and she goes, well, I just gave it away that it was a single mom, but she said, I just wanted to let you know that that wasn't easy what you told me, but that it needed to be said, and that just wasn't his cup of tea, but this is clearly his
but
cup of tea.
But he found his channel in life.
Correct.
You know what my father told me one time, and I remember this vividly, I was really young. He said, I don't care what you strive to be in life, if you decide to be a sanitation worker, you give it your very best shot, and you do everything in your power to be the best sanitation worker in the world. I just think that's what you tell kids. Let them find their path in life. Quit forcing them to try to play baseball or forcing them to play soccer or forcing them to be involved in something that perhaps that's not their forte.
And what I have found out over the years is that the parents that are most chill about it are when the dads played baseball at high level.
Yeah.
They're not the ones pushing the kids. It's the parents.
Because they know.
They do. And don't take it personally if your child doesn't. Look, if you want it to be all about your child, forget baseball, forget football, forget basketball. Play golf, tennis, bowling, bass fishing, whatever.
Right.
Because
that's right.
Because then it's all about them.
Well, I mean, not to belittle parents. We're not trying to do that. But I think we were both so impressed with Graham Crawford all year long. And then we got that. We asked Oz about that one day off the air, and he told us the same thing, that he was just extraordinarily proud of him and so happy that he was a part of his program.
But we do have a lot of connections, Bob, on this show in college baseball. And one common thread that we keep hearing is that more and more kids are not taking responsibilities for their situation. Well, the coach didn't like me. That's why I transferred. They obviously don't know what they're doing because I was better than the other guy, but I didn't get to play. I mean, every excuse in the world. And that's not going to get you anywhere.
No.
But those excuses were made probably... The parents were feeding kids that all growing up. Well,
and another thing he said that he didn't even realize that he reaffirmed that, how much time you're on the field has nothing to do with what a part of the team you are. Graham Crawford was in the wedding with Peyto, you know, and Slade Wilkes. So that tells me that the young man that got married, Peyto, Slade, that Graham's part of their brotherhood, brother.
And he said, if you're not holding up your end of the bargain, whatever that is, he said, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do, you know, with that. I've been a captain, in his words, he's been a captain, and he's been a guy that hasn't hardly played at all. But that should not matter in the way that you approach your job.
Again, what an example for everybody we got from Graham Crawford today. All right, Kelly, we'll be back tomorrow at 1. Can you join me here?
Looking forward to it.
All right, until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.